The magnets are good. The magnets are good. We're about ready to start. All right. Well, welcome everyone to expanding your opportunity with Windows Phone 8 and 7. I mentioned 7 because the Windows Phone 8 opportunity is already an opportunity if you have a Windows Phone 7 app. It's built-in functionality for you. And I'm going to go through a few things today, which hopefully we'll share with you a lot more information about Windows Phone 8 from a monetization, business model, and discoverability perspective. We've invested a lot in those three areas in this release, and I'm really honored to share those with you and represent the work of hundreds of engineers across the company who've been working on it. So it's my privilege to do this. We'll go through we'll start with an opportunity kind of overview in terms of where we're at in the business. We'll talk about markets, monetization. We'll talk about the Dev Center a little bit. We did do a refresh yesterday, and so there's some new capabilities there you may not be fully aware of yet. Obviously, the major refresh that we did on that came in the August timeframe, and that's settling out, which is great. I'm going to focus a lot on discoverability and show you kind of a demo, actually, of the Windows Phone 8. Hopefully, a lot of you have played with it already and see a lot of it. I'll kind of go through it and explain it as we do that. And then fast start. So there's about 8 key things that we'll go through, which is like things you can do now and over the next couple of weeks to really make sure you and your business are ready for the opportunity that Windows Phone 8 presents. And a lot of these are very straightforward. So in terms of our annual report, every year we release around the fall time frame, and I kind of share some stats with you. Our community of Windows Phone developers has grown significantly over the last 12 months, those folks have been very productive in building applications and making those available to users all over the world. Users continue to download more and more apps. The phenomena that we see is after an initial surge of downloads and kind of loading up the first kind of 20 apps or so that all of us do when we first get a phone, users continually come back to the store and continually buy more applications and download more applications. And the average user today of Windows Phone has about 53 applications that have been installed on their phone. And then the market expansion has increased as well. You as a developer now can publish either a free or a paid app in 191 markets and have users in those markets who have payment instruments be able to purchase or download your application or game. So we've seen a lot of progress. I want to thank all of you here and all of you who are watching this for that. Absolutely none of this would have been possible without kind of your commitment and dedication. And frankly, taking a risk and a bet on us. And it's going to be, it's starting to pay off, and it's going to pay off even more with Windows Phone 8. So let's get to that. So first of all, one of the big things we know, and before we even get an opportunity, is what are we doing to market Windows Phone? So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. First of all, those of you that may have watched the announce or watched the keynote yesterday, we are marketing our Windows Phone 8 product as a phone for each of us. We're spending more money than we did with Windows Phone by several multiples. It's going to be a big splash with Windows 8. Obviously, this is a very critical juncture for Microsoft and our product release cycle. One of our big TV ad campaigns, and I'll show you a spot of that that'll be coming out shortly in the United States, we're going to be prominently featuring applications in each and every TV spot we have. On average, about 15 to 20 apps per TV spot. In total, that'll be around 400 unique apps included. Some of them are going to be apps you're familiar with, maybe even apps that you've written. We'll work with you to let you know when those are coming so you can DVR them because they're kind of fun, and I'll show you an example of that. And we're going to do a lot more TV. So one of the things we're trying to do is make sure more people are aware of Windows phones and the people who use Windows phones so they feel more comfortable buying a Windows phone. So let's go through that. Let me click a quick video here so you can kind of see what we're doing.
We are not for everybody. We're for the individual. We're for the food lover. The movie lover. The road tripper, and the music mentor. We're for the gamer, the fashion hunter, the page turner, a single dad. We're for the socializer, the working mom, Thomas, Tommy, the tomboy, and Tom. We're for the playmaker, the deal seeker, twin brothers, and the up all nighters. So when we set out to make a smartphone, we didn't make one for all of us. We made one for each of us.
So what do you think? I like it too. And you're going to see a lot of ads around that theme of people and their lives and expressing themselves through their phone, through their start screen, to help them achieve what they want to achieve in life across the board. In that spot, we call it the Windows Phone 8 Manifesto. You can find that also up on YouTube today as well. So let's talk about market opportunity. One of the biggest achievements that we did, I think, in August is really make paid commerce available to almost every person on the planet. Basically, 99.8% of the human population now who can get a Windows Phone in their country can now buy applications and download applications. So this is just a huge increase in geographic scope for us. In addition, developers from 191 countries now can register to submit apps to all of these markets as well. There are some markets that, from a developer point of view, we're not going to be able to completely cover from a paid app perspective, but every developer will be able to submit free apps from all countries across the world. We support about 120 plus of those. So today, you can do this. This is nothing new. This has been what we've had out since August. You can go submit your application to all these markets. You simply just click the boxes and the downloads go up. It's really quite that simple. And a lot of folks, when they see that, see an immediate impact in terms of the user discoverability, because a lot of the Windows Phone growth that's happening right now is happening in a lot of the emerging markets, in Latin America, in Central and Eastern Europe, in Southeast Asia, in China, in the Middle East. There's a lot of growth happening in all those emerging markets. So if you don't have your app there, you're missing where a lot of the new users are coming from and a lot of the growth that's happening in the market today. We've also expanded language support to 50 languages. We started with 24 in Windows Phone 7.5, and now have increased that to 50. One of the things that every user enjoys, I'm sure you enjoy, is finding applications and content in your own native language. It's a little bit more convenient, a little bit more intuitive to read content in that language. We made it really easy now to be able to make localized applications for all of these different markets as well. So more monetization. The monetization equation I'm going to introduce to you is really a two-part partnership. You create the amazing apps, and we build the infrastructure to make monetization simple for those. More business models, more market reach, more payment instruments, so that, one, you can discover and implement different ways for you to make money through your applications. For some of you, a download-to-own model is going to be the right model. For some of you, an advertising-based model is perfectly appropriate because you're trying to monetize on usage. And for others of you, we've been lacking a key business model that we've now brought to Windows Phone 8, which is in-app purchasing, PDLC, download in-app commerce. And so we've enabled that with business models. Market reach is about reaching more customers with those business models. And more payment methods is a really important piece. You can be in a lot of countries, and you can have all the business models you want in the world, but if users don't have payment instruments available, and in many countries, local payment instruments available, they can't purchase goods and services. And so we've worked on all of those to really develop and deliver higher monetization per user. So we'll go through that. First of all, in-app purchase is the best business model for most apps. I'm being very definitive around that because the numbers are clear, whether you look on any competing platform and their app store business or other app stores who've implemented IAP. A tremendous amount of revenue is generated from it. And it's very simple to understand why. First of all, you maximize your pool of available user by growing your user base. You have a basic set of functionality and experience that gives users a taste, gives the users a reason to use the app over and over again, and you broaden that base. Then you have a section of that base who are willing to pay. And let's be honest, there's a fraction of users, and it's probably anywhere from 50 to 70%, depending on the market, who aren't going to ever buy anything, right? But what you're trying to do is find the users who not only have desire and motivation, but also ability to pay. And for that, in it, you can enable upsell scenarios to the paid business model. And then if you're really smart, you can figure out ways to encourage repeat monetization, repeat purchase and consumption of kind of content across the board. So the in-app opportunity really should be one where we would expect on average about a 4x revenue growth based on kind of user behavior around this. 93% of the top grossing apps today in platforms that have in-app commerce already made available are done via in-app purchase, not through a download-to-own model. About 38% of all the app revenue collectively, ads and all other business models, is going to be generated within the next few years on in-app commerce. And for some platforms, it's even higher than that today. And the rate of growth for in-app revenue is planning to grow from about $1 billion today to about $4 billion globally by 2016. And so this is available for all the Windows Phone 8 apps that will be coming out. They take advantage of all the payment instruments. So there's not any if, and, or but. No matter if a user has put a payment instrument on file, credit card, carrier billing, other kind of mechanisms, those same payment instruments work regardless of the business model. So this is a big convenience. So the user doesn't have to think about, oh, well, I can use carrier billing for this, but I need to use a credit card for that. And so it simplifies, it makes it easier for users. So the in-app purchase we're delivering, and this is a little bit of a Halloween view of this, is it's pretty simple. There are durables and there are consumables. Durables you buy once and you own forever. Consumables are you use once and the user buys over and over again. And so we support both models of in-app purchasing in Windows Phone 8. For durables, good examples of this would be things like game levels, add-on map applications and maps, game items, ebooks, things that you would buy once and intend the user to own forever. Consumables are things that expire. They have a shelf date. They are things like currency that gets consumed, ammunition that gets consumed, gold coins that get consumed, and other types of consumable type of content. It's up to your imagination how you do that. And we support a very flexible model on how you can distribute that, and a simple one. First, you create the in-app item in DevCenter. Typically, it's a type of asset you built, and you just create that item so we know in the purchase flow how to present that item to the user at what point in the application. You integrate that in-app item into your application. You, not we, this is an important distinction, host the content. You can host it on Azure. You can host it remotely. You can have it unlocked and available in the application itself or through your own infrastructure. But the key thing is you host the in-app content or reveal the in-app content the way you think is most appropriate for your business model, and your support infrastructure. Then, for your application, you choose the countries and you set the pricing. You can charge different amounts for your in-app consumable goods, depending on country. You can charge certain countries more money and certain countries less countries. And that's not just because of currency conversion things. You can actually charge a lot more money. Not to pick on any particular country, but you could charge, I'm seeing Chris in the audience here, you could charge the Germans $10 for an in-app item. You could charge the Americans, who owe a lot of money, $2. And so you could have a different kind of pricing mechanism and take advantage of some of these regional and local differences, as well as willingness to pay. You manage, you monitor, and you respond. In-app purchase is not a destination, it is a journey. It is something you learn from. The best folks optimize and refine to figure out what goods and services and experience points throughout the commerce flow make the most sense and give you and users the best return and the best experience. And of course, we take care of all the payment and payout. And it just shows up every month. So a lot of you here in this room and a lot of you watching already have Windows Phone 7 apps, as I mentioned, and about more than a third of those apps or so are already paid type of content. And some of them are free content that could be turned into paid content or an in-app kind of content. you should seriously consider whether or not you want to take advantage. And there's really kind of three high-level options for you to how to take your Windows Phone 7 app, which will run unaltered on Windows Phone 8, and convert that Windows Phone 7 application easily into a Windows Phone 8 application that can take advantage of the in-app commerce capabilities. Option number one is you can package your application with in-app purchase and simply look at your existing application, be thoughtful about how you separate kind of what the free capability is versus the premium capability, and then expose that in an in-app way. Recompile it on the Windows Phone 8 SDK tools and submit it as a Windows Phone 8 application. It could be, just be as that simple. For others of you, you'll want to consider dividing your strategy between maybe the 7 platform and the 8 platform. Maybe you just want to keep the application and the business model you have in place for the Windows Phone 7 users and add new capabilities and enhance the capabilities of the Windows Phone 8 version, which probably leverages a lot of the code and the experience from your Windows Phone 7 version, but you can take advantage of that and separate over time. And the third kind of approach is just reimagining your application altogether, which is enabling new models that the in-app commerce model provides you in terms of adding game currencies, tokens, ebooks, other types of consumable type of contents. You tune when and how you show the in-app purchase to maximize conversion. And this is a learning process. And instrumentation is critical for doing that, in-app instrumentation. And we announced a number of partners and work with a number of partners to enable lots of different options for you to take advantage of that. We also, of course, have a mobile ad, the Windows Phone ad SDK that our Bing and APS group provides. Generates really about half of the revenue today that developers earn. Advertising will be one of the major business models in addition to in-app commerce as well. And APS continues to invest in expanding the marketplace footprint and expanding the number of affiliate network partners to maintain eCPMs and fill rate. Oh, and I should also mention, but you can also use your own third-party ad controls, and there's a lot of companies that have invested third-party ad controls. And you can even dual home them as well. Global payment instrument. The other final piece of the monetization equation is helping users pay. So we've introduced two new payment instruments in Windows Phone 8. First, we've introduced the Microsoft gift card. This is a first instantiation of a much larger investment that we will be making for Windows Phone to enable users to receive and redeem gift cards. That they can spend on applications, games, and content in the Windows Phone Store. This works today. You can go to Bing Rewards. If you use Bing in a signed-in state, you earn rewards every time you search. You generate credits. Those credits then can be used and converted into currency in the form of a Microsoft gift card that users can use to purchase applications and games. We've also enabled PayPal for end users as well. So, a lot of users all over the world may not have as easy access to credit cards as is the case in the United States and some other countries, or debit cards. But for those folks, we now enable PayPal. And there's hundreds of millions of PayPal users who now can use their PayPal credentials in the marketplaces, in the store itself, and use that as a payment instrument to purchase goods and services through the store. Mobile operator billing. We continue to expand the number of mobile operators. Roughly one or two new mobile operator and carrier billing have come on per month over the last 4 or 5 months, and we'll continue to increase and expand that. Mobile operator billing is a really simple process. You as a developer or as a publisher need to do nothing. There's no custom APIs. There's no special agreements with the mobile operator you need to do to take advantage of mobile operator billing. We do that work. We build the connection between the store and the mobile operator's billing system, and we expand that out, starting with the biggest mobile operators and moving across the world to enable even more. So mobile operator billing is included in the wallet functionality of Windows Phone 8. It's the default payment instrument wherever it's available. And new to Windows Phone 8, we now made it PIN protected, so it makes it easier so that people who you don't want buying things, maybe even yourself, don't have the ability to kind of do so without knowing kind of the PIN. So the key thing here is you as a developer need to do no work, and that can be a different experience on other platforms. Mobile operator billing works. mobile operator billing is good. When you enable mobile operator billing, and these two charts show two anonymized kind of mobile operators, you see this baseline of credit card purchase in blue. When you turn on mobile operator, the exact same users, the existing users who don't do anything, all of a sudden buy at about 2 to 3 times the rate that they did the day before. And so the key thing and insight for everyone in the room who's considering a paid commerce kind of model is that there's a lot of people who want to buy applications, but if they don't have the payment instrument or support to do so, they won't because they can't. And so mobile operator unblocks roughly about 2/3 of the user base to buy commerce types of items. So we think with Windows Phone 8, we're continuing to enhance and deliver a better monetization equation for you. With in-app purchase, we're generating about 4 times X the revenue relative to the download-to-own model based on the experience that we've seen broadly across the markets wherever it's been rolled out. We're increasing the reach of your applications to 3 times the number of countries in the world, about twice, double the human population of the world. And we've dramatically increased the payment coverage support as well for those users to be able to purchase goods and services. So let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the Dev Center. So so the Dev Center has gone through a facelift. The color is purple. Tell us if you like it or not, but it is purple today. Purple, okay, great. So the Dev Center has improved a lot. Obviously, one of the things we've changed is the name. And introduce kind of a new clean interface. We have a new dashboard experience that's cleaner and more informative. We've integrated the content with MSDN deeply, so you have to go to 2 separate places. And we've made it very easy to access the SDK, the forums, and all the sample codes as well. We've also introduced, hopefully, a streamlined submission process. Hopefully, you see that and let us know that is indeed the case, and integrated with PubCenter. And we've also enabled new reporting capabilities. This is a scary slide. Any of you that have to do your own taxes, you don't like to see slides like this because that's a tax form. And as a United States company, people need to be able to submit W-8 forms so that we can withhold the correct amount of tax. Now we have online tax forms that makes that easy for you to go do that and supports all the different 191 markets. And you can even register with PayPal yourself as a developer. It's also easier now to submit and set price per market. This is as I was mentioning and referring to earlier, this is an important feature because to date, until now, you've been basically have to set your price tier, which then kind of gets translated into different currencies, which may or may not precisely match the intended price from a purchasing power perspective. But now what you can do, and we have an excellent blog post on this on guidance, is to go price your application and change it by market and experiment to kind of see what is the right price. So a lot of developers frequently ask me, well, what do I price my app at? Yeah, I see competitor apps that are 99 cents. I think it's worth more than that. I don't really know what I should price it at. And how do I find out? Well, now you have the ability to have the most effective method in the world to figure out what your price is worth, which is to experiment, look at the results in the data, and then apply that learning either on a global basis or on a per region kind of basis. And so there's a lot of countries that are similar to each other in terms of their GDP per capita and interest in downloading applications and paying for applications. And you can use those kind of controlled experiments to understand what's the right pricing structure. So you may want to experiment, for example, in one market before you experiment in a big market, as an example, to kind of see how users respond to the pricing signals you're sending based on the value you're delivering relative to, you know, alternatives that are in the store itself. We've also enabled you to greatly expand the beta pool that you can have. Approximately 2,500 users can be participants in your beta distribution program. That's up dramatically from a couple hundred that we had in Windows Phone 7 across the board. And we've made it a lot easier for you to identify those countries that may have special submission requirements. What we try to do is make sure that that we reflect kind of the, both the legal as well as the cultural norms of different countries to make sure that content that that country may not find acceptable is not available in the store. And so we make it kind of easy to if not always super clear with the exact reason, which we're kind of limited on in some cases, of which countries have more challenges than others and what you can do to kind of avoid or minimize concerns in that. So the packaging process is different and enhanced. Right now, in Windows Phone 7, it was very straightforward. You had one Zap, and one Zap translated to one app, and that was very straightforward. But it doesn't really reflect now the new capability of the hardware that we have available now on Windows Phone 8. And so in Windows Phone 8, and from this point forward, you only really need one app, and that's a 7X app, and that 7X app will run on Windows Phone 8 and Windows Phone 7. But now it's possible to have multiple Zaps associated with a single app SKU. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, you can have multiple Zaps linked to each app, and then if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can optimize those apps to potentially take advantage of some of the hardware capabilities that are going to be present on some of the phones. One big example would be to have a high resolution and a low resolution version. Some of the new phones that will be coming out on Windows Phone 8 will be very high resolution. And if particularly you're building, you know, a game or a type of application that serves, you know, high resolution HD video, you may want to take advantage of that in the version of the application that users with those devices get. But you may not want to do that for the millions of other users who don't have a high-res screen, and so you want to be able to separate that. We do the smart, intelligent hardware filtering in the store itself. So it will never be the case that a user sees multiple applications from you, high-res, low-res version, unless you do that. What we ideally want to do is just show the user the version of the application or the type of Zap that's optimized for their hardware, if there is optimization available for it. And in all cases, users get the right Zap and for the best experience on their particular phone. We've also improved reporting. We now have point in time and low latency reporting. It used to be the case it could take several days. We're moving to a model now that reporting model is going to be shrunken to close to, I've been promised, around 24 kind of hours from several days. And we're going to be working to enhance that even further as we minimize kind of the latency and the hops. One of the challenges on accurate reporting, especially for transaction level, is making sure we have accurate settled transactions, especially for paid commerce type files, to validate that, make sure that what we were actually reporting as a download is a download, especially for paid content. All the reviews now are in a single place. This was a big request that you asked for as a developer. And we've also kind of, you know, translated into your language. You don't need to hire everybody, you know, people who speak all the languages of the world to understand what users in those countries are thinking about your application. So we've kind of integrated a translate kind of capability that Microsoft Research came together. So you can actually translate the reviews that come in local languages and see what they say. This is really valuable because the ratings, you can clap, that's okay. All right. So I mean, ratings just are not, they're not very helpful. It's like good to know whether you're trending toward 3-star or 5-star, but it doesn't really tell you what might be wrong or what users really don't like or what they really do like around your application. So reviews are critical. And like I said, for a lot of folks in this room, I assume you know everyone has English either as a first or a second or a third language, but a lot of our customers are coming from countries that aren't, where English is not the predominant or first language, and they're going to write reviews in their language, just like you would write reviews in your language. But knowing what those reviews are and what they say hopefully will be really valuable, and you can leverage to improve your application. And last but not least, on the reporting side, we now have the ability to kind of analyze your free, trial, beta, and paid downloads kind of separately across the board. Before, it was kind of all merged together, and it was really hard to dissociate different inputs that are influencing kind of your rating or your business performance. So now I want to switch gears to discoverability. And I say this to the end because this is probably one of the most important areas of investment that we've made that's most important to you and users. And we kind of call it this discoverability problem. When we put together the team to start thinking about what we were going to go do and what became Windows Phone 8, the store team, the folks that designed the store experience, we had a lot of discussions around what it was. And then we asked a bunch of users what they thought. What we thought, what they thought were slightly different. But what users told us were really five key things, if I was to net it out, about our store experience as it exists today on Windows Phone 7. First of all, make it a lot easier for me to find popular and highly rated free apps and games. Okay? Users like free. You like free as a consumer as well. So everybody likes free. And so what users want is a really fast way to find free apps and games. Second thing, help me find the apps that have live tile or which have a free trial available. And so users shop for apps, and they try to figure out which ones have live tiles. And you know, you could find out from the metadata description if you as a developer decided to include that information, but it wasn't really easy for users to understand which apps have live tile. Apps that have live tiles get rated on average 1.5 stars higher than apps or games that don't have live tiles. True statement based on the analysis we've done of all the catalog. And that reflects really users' delight with live tiles and how they can create a more personalized start screen experience with a live tile. And the other thing is they're looking for apps that have free trials, right? They're okay to buy paid apps. Actually, the paid conversion averages about 10 to 12%. And so users that really enjoy trying something before they buy it, even if the trial experience is minimal, as long as it's kind of roughly reflective of the real experience. The challenge has been, though, for a lot of users, they had no way of easily understanding which apps had trial capability or not, and so they didn't buy as much. Third, improve application search so that users can more readily find what they're looking for. Show me other apps that I might like based on what I and my friends like. People are looking for trusted advisor recommendations for the kind of applications. One of the great new hobbies that most of us have is finding apps, telling our friends and family about them, or getting their recommendations. It's almost a new kind of level of social interaction. And the fifth thing is really help me find really good groups of applications that I just can't find neatly organized in your category structure. And then we asked you what you thought, what developers thought, and what you told us. Help users find my app in more and smarter lists. I can't be found in my list. The lists are not very smart. I've invested in live tiles and trials, Microsoft. I did what you said I should go do, but it's too hard to get noticed for that, right? We also heard that my app doesn't show up in search sometimes, even when it should. Even when a user tries to search for me, sometimes the search didn't work quite right, or it was easy to misspell it, and so users didn't find it. Or, you know, worse, my competitor apps showed up instead of my app when they were looking for me. Fourth, how can users who might like my app but haven't heard of it find it? A lot of developers start off submitting applications without an established brand or really clear identity that a lot of users don't know. But users are really curious, and they're into discovery, but we need to help them do that. And so we've invested in that area. And the fifth kind of thing is, if my app is kind of more niche and very interest-based, how does it stand out in a catalog of 100,000-plus kind of apps? And this is a common challenge everywhere. So if you see, there's a lot of similarity between what users want, what developers want. And so what we did is solve all five of those problems for each users and developers, we think, you tell me, that we'll deliver it. So the new store experience, and I'll go through this in detail, but I just want to give you a high-level view of it. We have a new shopping bag. Looks a little bit more modern on the shopping experience. That launches you into this top-level store, where we still have the same kind of apps, games, music kind of listing, as well as a hero placement of an application, and an MO and OEM store, and then. So this is what the apps looks like, the App Store section. And we'll go through a lot of this in a little bit more detail. But those tiles you see, this is the big new addition. These are called quick links. And we'll go through what those are and how users we think are going to use them. Games has a very similar kind of structure of spotlight genres and quick links. And then the music store is very consistent with that too, the new Xbox Music Store that's available on the phone. So with that, let me switch gears quickly and show you what it really looks like. Now, hopefully, if you've all been attendees and you've already gone through and set this all up and maybe seen a lot of it, but we'll go do that. All right. Can everyone see this all right? Ooh, spooky. Okay, so here's my start screen experience. This is a Lumia Nokia 920. I'm going to launch the store kind of environment, and today we're promoting Plants vs. Zombies, a very popular game. It's Halloween, okay, so you're going to see a lot more scary kind of titles than normally we would have on a given day. And the Plants vs. Zombies, so this is kind of the hero spot. One of the things you'll notice, and you can see here, is the copy text at the bottom. This is new. We didn't have this before. And what we're doing with the Hero Spotlight is actually in like one or two sentences really give users an additional set of copy treatment that my merchandising team puts together to kind of find to give users a better indication of what the app is before they learn more about it. So let's go to the apps to kind of walk through some of the experiences. So, Zombies Run. So here's when we talk about some of those challenges, here's the first thing we've done. So in this view on the Hero app, you'll notice a couple things that aren't available on 7X. First of all, we still have the name of the application and the price, but you notice in parentheses it says free trial. Now that happens now automatically. We read your manifest when you submit the application. Notice that you have a trial state and you're exercising the trial API. And now we make that expose that to users really prominently, so the users don't have to take your word for it and your metadata text. It's just a system level thing that always shows up. So that's number one. Thank you. Second thing, a little bit shaded, a little bit more gray, but right underneath it says with live tile. If your app has a live tile, it says that. If your app doesn't have a live tile, it doesn't say that. And so this is yet another way for users to discover applications. So any kind of details page or any kind of application, they're going to see which apps have live tile and which apps don't. So now we get to quick links. So as I said, the number one thing users want is give me super quick access to good quality free apps and games. And so the upper left quick link does exactly that. It takes you to top free. In top free, we've added a number of new pivots and categories. So I'll just go through all four of them. Top free, as it might suggest, is the top free apps. But the sort algorithm now is a little bit more sophisticated. In fact, an order of magnitude more sophisticated than it was on 7.5, because we're not just taking into account things like downloads for top free, we're also taking into account other quality measures in top free as well, which is if your app crashes a lot, it's going to move yourself down the list. If you have a really high crash up rate, it's going to be good. If you get pinned to start a lot, that's a good thing. That means users want to use you, so that will elevate you. If users uninstall you on the application, then that kind of lowers you on the rank. And so what we're trying to do is to give users a better and better quality filter to find the kind of applications that they want. The other thing you'll notice on this feature for Windows Phone 8 for all the smart lists, this is now active and live on every single Windows Phone 7 device as well. Every single Windows Phone 7 device now uses this Bing-powered search and listing algorithm to start listing applications. And so if you've seen your app go up or down over the last couple of months and it didn't seem to correlate with anything too logical that you could identify, it's because under the hood we've changed the list and the search algorithms to include more of these quality inputs, both positive signals as well as negative signals. I'll talk a little bit more about what goes into it so you have a little bit better idea around that. We also have the new list, which we kind of had before, but now we call it the new plus rising list. The new plus rising list is not just about the most recent published date. It also includes things like the most recent update date. So now we're giving you credit for updating your app frequently, because users really care about fresh, updated applications. So applications that have not been updated very frequently aren't going to be very high, obviously, on this list. And frankly, developers who may have published their first app 2 years ago but have updated it, you know, every 3 months, they're going to show up on the new plus rising list. And that's a great way for users to discover new, fresh content. And also, if there's a surge of interest in applications, either because of merchandising or marketing or other work that you do, that will also show up on the new plus rising algorithm too. Top 8 is a lot like Top Free. The only difference is these are apps that are charged for users. That's the only difference. The same kind of quality inputs and signals go into the top paid, just like the top free. The only filter difference, and this is really from a user preference perspective, is which ones have a dollar price or a currency price associated with them or not. And then you have best rated. So this is one of the big requests for users, which is just tell me what the 5-star, the best ranked kind of applications are, and give it to me in order. And so what we've done is we do that in absolute order. We basically, since ratings are kind of averages of, you know, single 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of measures, we actually rank them in exactly that order for the market that the user is in. So I'm in the U.S. market right now. Flixster is the number one rated app right now in the United States market. It may not be that at all in other kinds of markets. But you see kind of the list of the 4 and then the 4.5-star kind of applications across the board. And then we still have Featured, which is our spotlight curated selected set of applications. Every time we feature an application, on average, the downloads of that application go up by about 1 to 2,000%. 2,000 when it's a really prominent placement, more like 500% when it's a less prominent placement. But every time we feature something, it helps users find new applications. And so we always try to do a mix of kind of familiar but popular content, but also new and undiscovered gems as well. So I went through kind of the top four. I went through top free, be careful not to touch that, new plus rising, top paid, and best rated. Now I want to go into a new thing that we've also included, which is called collections. So collections are unique on a per country basis of cuts and groupings of applications are organized around a similar theme. That might be seasonal interest, it might be locale based, it could be a number of different kind of groupings. So here is kind of popular and famous. We have a set of Happy Halloween apps, must-have games, the toolbox, cloud applications, astronomy applications. So let's just look at astronomy applications. So in any given market, we're going to have roughly around 30 to 40 collections that are live, and they're live today. You can also see them at any time on the website as well. And so we just basically editorially kind of help users discover apps in new types of ways. It's a big collection. So if you're an astronomy buff, you know, every once in a while we're going to put an astronomy collection together for a month or so and take the very best astronomical and space-oriented type of applications like we have here and make them available in similar types of grouping. We'll also have other types of applications as well. So here's one that's all about customizing your phone. So if you really want to trick out your phone and customize it, we have a number of different really good, highly rated kind of applications that help users start that process across the board. So that's collections. And last but not least is Picks for You. So we've built a personalized recommendation engine that's also Bing powered into the Surface experience. And so this provides kind of a serendipitous type of discovery mechanism for users of applications. And it's based on a number of different things. It's based on what you've downloaded, if you opt into it, what your friends on Facebook have downloaded, how well they've rated those applications, what you use the most, what you pin to start the most, whether you've uninstalled an app or not. And all these are signals that go into the recommendation engine that attempt to figure out what kind of applications you might want next. And so it's a very long list that goes on and on, and it actually tells you where the recommendation came from. So I have an application called Picture Locker that's installed on this phone. It says, oh, well, the reason I'm recommending to you Secure Free is you already have an application similar to that called Picture Locker, so you might be interested in it. Likewise, I've downloaded Shazam. Here's an application called Lyrics. And this is also popular with other people, Facebook people who have Shazam. So people who've downloaded Shazam that you know through Facebook or are loosely affiliated with also like this app. And so it lets you know basically where the recommendation is coming from, so you kind of know how the system thinks about who you are and what you like across the board. And then you have other kind of things like one of the top, like Walkie Texty, one of the top 25 downloaded tools last week. So we know that you've been looking recently for productivity applications and tools, so we'll find one that we think you might want that you maybe didn't discover, and we'll put it on this list as well. So this is another serendipitous way for users to discover, and we think users will really like learning more about themselves and learning more about your applications using this kind of service. One thing I want to talk about as well is kind of the details page, because we've done a couple other things and enhancements on the detail page as well. So first of all, it makes it clear there's a live tile, gives you the exact size, and tells you very specifically as a user what you need to do, which is really, this is a large application, so you need to download this over Wi-Fi. You can't use cellular for it. It includes still the kind of the show details. It also includes now a report of concern to Microsoft. And so what this is, it allows users, if they find something, you know, wrong with the application, not just that, you know, they don't like it or it's not a good value, but if they see some kind of violation of policy or offended by it or think something really is wrong with it, they can let us know and we'll go check it out and see if there's any merit to their concern or not, and take kind of the appropriate action if there's any kind of violation of any policy of sort. And it tells you, of course, all the things you need to know. The other thing is right here, which is the last updated date. So this wasn't there before. We had the published date, which was when it was originally published, but not the last updated date. So now that we've included that, it's a lot easier to kind of for users to understand how fresh and invested the developer is in keeping that up. So basically, we've provided a lot more transparency to and visibility to the user of what's going on. So just to give you an idea of what goes into the search and smart list, the factors that go into the criteria on a positive basis, downloads, as well as download trend, app usage, how often do people use the application, uninstall rate. People download it, but then they uninstall it really quickly. It's probably not a good signal. This is a really good application for other users, potentially. Ratings and review count, the number of crashes relative to its installed base size, and the number of times it's pinned to start. That's a very positive signal. There's also elements that lower or suppress lower kind of ranking, the number of crashes, uninstalls, and negative kind of ratings across the board. We've also made the search more resilient to search errors, and I didn't show this, I should have, but if you type in a slight misspelling of a word like, Netflux instead of Netflix, or Facebook instead of Facebook, the service is smart enough to know that this is what you really probably meant, and to surface that as well. We've also made this same discovery service available on the web, so you don't need to know by every single country how you're doing with a phone. You can actually just change the country setting now yourself without having to reset your phone, and change your locale setting to different countries around the world, or just to be able to go to different websites, the WAM interface in all these different countries as well, and see how your app is doing in different kinds of markets. So there are a couple other things we've announced I'm sure you're aware of. First of all, we have new download badges. So the download badge that we're using looks exactly the same as the download badge Windows 8 is using, with the exception as theirs says Windows Store and ours says Windows Phone. And so for you, who if you operate a website or participate in a social network and you want to provide an easy way, an intuitive way for a user to go link to the application, if you're on the phone, it goes to the phone. If you're on the web, it goes to the website to go find the application. And you can get all these assets and download them and use them as at your discretion across a wide variety of colors at the bit.ly tag there. The other kind of thing as well is that with the Windows Phone 8 SDK, you can use the Windows Phone 8 SDK to modify and enhance your Windows Phone 7 applications. And one of the things you can do right now is you have the ability for the upcoming 7.8 release to add double wide tiles to your applications as well as small little tiles. And these are some examples of some of the applications that have done that already. You can do this as well. So when users are able to get the Windows Phone 7.8 update, they're going to have the same kind of personal start screen experience with the big squares and the squares and the rectangles that Windows Phone 8 users will have. And when they pin your application start, they'll have the same flexibility to adjust that. You can add this easily through the Windows Phone 8 SDK for all of your Windows Phone existing 7 apps and make it more a more interesting experience. The other kind of thing is understand what we mean by low memory. So in Windows Phone 7, low memory typically meant devices that had approximately 256 megabytes of RAM or so. And a normal, a non-low memory, a regular memory Windows Phone was more spec typically at about 512 megabytes. In Windows Phone 8, the resource requirements go up. And so a low memory device in Windows Phone 8 is more of a 512 megabyte range device. So there isn't going to be anything lower than that for on Windows Phone 8. And most of the phones that will come out will have a gigabyte or more of kind of memory on board. And the other kind of key thing as well that we note here is that we've upped the over-the-air download limit for applications to 50 megabytes, up from 20. So if you have an application that's between 20 and 50 and your users couldn't install it unless they were on Wi-Fi, now they can install it under 50 megabytes. We also have a number of new developer partners. I can't talk about all of them here. I encourage you to go to our developer blog where we list them all out, or our partner resource tab in Dev Center. We have a lot of new native gaming middleware frameworks like Unity and Havok, but also Marmalade and a number of other middleware gaming platforms. We have a bunch of new UI controls specifically designed for Windows Phone 8. We have a number of new tools and libraries that our developer partners have been working on, as well as new web APIs to take an example of. And we've been working also with a number of porting services who have built very interesting practices. Now that on Windows Phone 8, that we have native API support, it actually turns out it's really easy to move an Objective-C app to a C platform. So it's very easy to move an iPhone app to Windows Phone. And so there's a lot of porting services that for a very fixed fee, we'll just take an iPhone app, turn it into a modern Windows Phone design kind of application, and do that for typically under four figures to go do that. So a lot of people are coming out with those kind of options as well. So eight things for Windows Phone 8. First, cross-submit your apps to all the new markets. This is the easiest thing to do. It's about a 20-minute investment for a 2x return in your downloads. Optimize your app price per market. There are a number of markets who are doing very well economically, and other markets aren't doing so well economically in the world. And actually, it's quite impressive. If you look at the correlation that we have between GDP growth rates, I'll just tell you this as an insider. Wherever you see high GDP growth rates and personal income going up, those people buy a lot more apps than where GDP is flat or stagnant. Very clear. So if you go through the countries that have had great economic times over the last few years and personal incomes have been rising, those people buy apps. The people whose incomes are flat or been declining, they don't. Because that's one area people cut back on is, $5 games, right, when they do that. Ensure your app runs in low memory. So you now have the tools and a memory profile or another kind of tools and capabilities with the Windows Phone 8 SDK to make sure your Windows Phone 7 app works really well on Windows Phone 8. Use the badge program to promote your application to make your own luck. Download, obviously, the Windows Phone 8 SDK to do a lot of this and add your live and double wide tiles to your existing kind of applications. We still have a very large Windows Phone 7 user base, which will be larger probably than the Windows Phone 8 user base for several months to come, just because of the enormous number of 7 users there are currently. Add in-app purchase to your application. If there's only one thing I encourage all of you to walk out of this room on, is in-app purchasing is the biggest opportunity to increase revenue for you and the best way to increase your reach to a bunch of new customers. And I strongly encourage you, if there's only one thing you do out of this besides download the SDK, is think about your business model in terms of IAP and how you can implement that. It's the quickest way to make the most money on our platform. And last but not least, add high-resolution graphics if it makes sense for your application. Don't do it if your application really doesn't need or a user doesn't benefit from high resolution, but consider doing it to take advantage of some of these new awesome high-resolution screens and hardware form factors we see coming out. And then finally, for those of you who have not heard, we're just running a little promotion right now to try to attract new developers to the platform. It's a little bit silly, but it also kind of rhymes and has some symmetry to it. which is $8 for individual developers for 8 days to register on the Dev Center. And so the way it works, it doesn't say actually $8. We didn't want to do all the engineering work just to kind of change it for just a short time, period of time. But what we will do is refund every user, every individual developer who signs up between yesterday and November 7th, the difference between the $99 or local currency equivalent and the $8 that we're talking about. And that'll just show up as a post back to your credit card statement or your account. Yeah, just questions quickly at the end. And this is the end. Yes, questions, please.
So just about that, I had a question. There was, on MSDN, right, there was a possibility to sign up for a year of, so the $99, basically. So how do you do in that case? Is there any advantage for us to register for this action?
Well, if you are a MSDN Universal subscription, you already have a built-in free subscription, basically, to Windows and Windows Phone as part of your universal subscription fee. So, and there's a lot of people who have that and can take advantage of that and sign up. This is really for individual. Students can already sign up for free anywhere in the world, and companies typically are still going to be $99. But there's this group of developers, individual developers, and $99 for some folks. It's not that it's a tremendous amount of money, but it's more of a gesture for us that, hey, we want you to come on board. We want you to try out our SDK. We want you to have the opportunity, if you so choose, to publish an application. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, most of the creativity, most of the innovation in the world comes from the digital artists and craftsmen who build applications today. And we want that individual developer, the moonlighter, the dreamer, the budding entrepreneur, the guy who moonlights at night, to have an opportunity to try their wares on our platform, and we welcome them to come. Just a little gesture to make it a little bit easier.
On the same topic, if one has already a subscription that expires, say, next year, buying the subscription now would add to that?
No, it's only for new developers. It wouldn't change your existing subscription status. Okay. Any other questions? I'll be around afterward. Okay, go ahead. No, we don't support a subscription API that functions in the way of just automatically renewing a user and charging their credit card like a magazine would or some other kind of subscription-based service. But what the in-app purchase model does have is that you can create it like a subscription model. The only difference is, you know, the user gets to kind of say, oh, do I want it again for another period of time, right? So it's not. And so it's, you know, from a user perspective, they're not experiencing it like a subscription because they don't just keep getting billed. Yeah, that's one of the areas we do want to add in the future as well. I'm sorry? Oh, I know. I'm the one who letting them do that.
I mean, it seems like you've learned a lot from the Windows Phone 7. You know, I mean, now you're servicing that it's a trial and all that information. It doesn't seem like that's happening in the Windows 8 store. Are you sharing that information with them? Are they planning on doing that so you can also see right away that there's also a trial available? And
I can't speak to their near-term plans. I can say that we're working a lot with the Windows 8 team, and we're trying to share the best ideas that each of us has as we learn. And over time, we're going to share more and more commonality. But there's also differences fundamentally between kind of a tablet and PC kind of approach, and because of the real estate as well as the distribution model versus phones that are typically distributed by a lot of by mobile operators and governed under different regulatory type environments. And so there'll be increasing similarity. It's not identical in all aspects, nor will it ever be. But we'll continue to make that more similar and share the learnings back and forth. Yeah.
Like, you know, some of those things where you're, you know, where you see that, seeing that it is a trial, you know, people want to see that, and they can see ones that are, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the research was really clear when we asked people. It's like people want to know which apps have tried before they buy, and you just want to know which ones have live tiles because they're cool. And people like to pin their apps to their start screen. Yes. Right. Yeah, actually, on the Windows store, Windows Phone store rather, on the website, we now have a reinstall option. So it keeps track of your entire purchase history, and then you can hit reinstall, and the user on the new phone, when they associate their device to the new phone, all comes down. Yes, we have a whole kind of we have a whole set of capabilities with SkyDrive to bring a lot of that and Office. And so a lot of the data types that are on Windows Phone 7 device for a user that are associated with at least a Microsoft cloud service, those will all be available. There are going to be some things that aren't, like some of your settings and configurations aren't, your text messages aren't. But one of the things we have added in Windows Phone 8, which is all your texts are now automatically backed up as well as almost everything else on your phone. Oh yeah, promo codes. There are ways of doing that. One of the things that we've done with the Microsoft gift card is it's actually a manifestation of what we call currency stored value, which is basically a way of generating 5x5 codes that give value to users that vendors or merchants can go do. Initially, that's going to be limited to things we can do until we can roll it out broader. But you should expect this capability to be increasingly available. Through other means, but I have nothing more to kind of announce around that today. Yep. It depends on the back. This is more of an enterprise software management question. And so, but the general theory is depending on the type of backend service you have, typically they support that functionality to kind of relatively lock down the device so that users can install things if it's a company owned or sponsored device. All right. Hey, well, thanks everyone for your time.